What's going on, guys? The weekend is over. We are all here for Monday. We're all here to have an amazing start to the week. God bless us. We got through it. And we're just going to start all over again. It's me. It's Manuel. It's the Goose. It's the Stretch Goose Podcast. And something that I've been going to dive into is something that has been kind of propping up over the last, couple of years. There's been this rise of Democratic political slash activist slash analyst slash toddlers that somehow, and I say toddlers, I mean just because they are young. They're all either between the ages of 19 and 23. But there's three in particular that I want to kind of touch on, and they all have amassed 1.5 to 2 million followers at various platforms. One guy is Luke Beasley. He started his bit in, aggressively in 2022 is when he started posting consistently. He's been getting after it since 2016 on YouTube. He's got about 340 million downloads or views, however you want to say it. About 1.4 million followers on YouTube. And he's very, I would describe, I'm going to go through each one of these and play like a video or two of what I'm getting at. And I'm going to start with Luke. The next one will be a guy by the name of Harry Sisson, 1.5 million on TikTok. I don't understand the TikTok game, so I'm just going to say, props to him for that. And then the final guy would be Dean Withers, 2.3 million on TikTok. Again, I'm not entirely sure what it is about these three that has gotten them to explode to the heights of what it is that they are. But as far as I can tell, it's a whole lot of I know you are, but what am I kind of conversations. It's a whole lot of, but they do it too type things. And it's worked for them because they've gained a massive following. All three of them have, but here's something that I'm going to get into first is with Luke. And this clip here, he's talking with he calls her a MAGA influencer. That's one of the other issues too with social media, YouTube's all that. There's millions and millions of people out there. You try to do the homework as best you can. Apparently she's got a decent following, a few hundred thousand people listen to what she's got to say. But I've never heard her until this video, and she sounds extremely out there. But the content in this video gave me a pause more on Luke than on her. So let's get into this.
Man or woman?
Okay, me, I'm vile.
Sure.
Let's see.
Here, let's see.
This is the same guy who uses the kind of language he does to describe women?
Rightfully so. I would rather have a crude, brutally honest man president that says honest things about women than a literal as my president, or even a woman. Like, she's not even just a woman that I don't want to be president, because I don't think any woman should ever have a leadership position. Not only is she a woman, but she is the in chief. Freak, no.
Yeah, I mean,
go off queen. I mean, seriously, she literally, it's known that she got ahead by giving head. Like, she's literally.
Not, that's not. It's not.
Okay.
How do you think she got elected?
How do I think
you know,
she got
how many I'm not going to quiz you, actually. She got elected to DA, then to attorney general, then to senator, then to vice president.
I know. There are stories, though, there were people, a guy, I don't know his name.
Okay, let's start right there. All right. Luke shows immediately he does not know how she got her job or how she got her start. This is the issue that I have with, this is why I call them young toddlers. I'm sure he's educated. I'm sure he's gone to college or some form of that. But he doesn't know what happened. Now, for those of us that are older, as I am, I've circled the block a few times. So I have seen and or read and or what have you, right? So I know if I were in front of him, he would ask me for my sources because that's exactly their go-to move. Well, where's your proof, right? Well, this is, for what it's worth, this is a piecing of the story from Wikipedia, Washington Examiner, USA Today, rawstory.com, sanfranciscostandard.com, thelist.com, and news, mew.com, right? Okay. So, she got her career, Kamala Harris got her career in the 2000s. And early 2000s. So that's when her political career started. And I'm pretty sure this is when his knowledge of her started. And of course, later, a little bit after this, he talks about the Willie Brown thing. And we'll play that too. She served as the district attorney, like he said, in San Francisco. And then the DA of Alameda County. And then, of course, senator, vice president, all that. Okay. So far he's okay, but what I'm telling you is overall, I don't think he knows the whole story.
You're talking about Willie Brown. I know what you're talking about, and you're wrong about it.
Okay. All right.
Her having a relationship before she got into politics is a ridiculous thing to say, is the reason she went up to be one of the most successful elected officials in the history of the country.
Okay. So he says, I know you're talking about Willie Brown, and it's nonsense. They were in a relationship, but it had nothing to do with her rise. Okay. She dated Willie Brown in the early 90s. He wasn't even born yet. All right? He was born in 2002 or something to that effect. What is he, 21, 22? Yeah, he was born in 2002, roughly. Okay, so they dated in the early 90s, all right? He played a massive role in her political career. When he was the Speaker of the California State Assembly, he appointed her to two state commissions, the California Unemployment Insurance Appeals Board and the California Medical Assistance Commission. They helped her gain visibility, experience, and the backing of one of the most powerful men at that time in Willie Brown. Now, he is also saying that her going, getting the DA, you know, winning the district attorney's office of San Francisco on her own. Not true at all. He also endorsed her campaign for the DA's office of San Francisco. So when you're dating in the 90s to the most powerful political man, Willie Brown of that time in California, you're having sex with him, you're in a relationship with him, and he turns around and hands you two free jobs without even having to apply for it, work for it, or even get it. You get two jobs right out of the gate, and while you're still in contact with him, he pushes your campaign for district attorney of San Francisco, and it boosts her to the finish line. So Luke, now the fact that, before I get into Luke for a second, Willie Brown was the Speaker of the California State Assembly at the time this ball got rolling. And his endorsements that followed well after 1995, which was in 2000, 5 years later, he still endorsed her. He still backed her. He still pushed her. Now, the narrative around the situation at that time was that she dated him. She had sex with him while he was separated from his wife. That's the story. But you cannot honestly sit here and say that did not play a role in her getting a job, in her getting her start, in her getting her foot in the door, in her getting her first campaign over the finish line. You can't sit there, as Luke is saying here, and saying it's absolutely ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. It's right there in front. It's a widely known story. And it's one of the things that really upsetting is these younger ones that are coming up now are acting as if none of this stuff has happened, or they know it has happened and they don't think it's that big of a deal, nor did it play a role in anybody in anything. This is another thing of someone either doesn't know anything or doesn't care. And that is the first issue. Now, here's something else that Luke has done here is he goes through this entire interview with Pearl Davis on the Twins Pod. And we're gonna get through some of this because I find this absolutely fascinating with Luke.
One of the most nauseating phenomena in politics in the United States, especially online, is people who realize they can go to the right wing and say, "Hey, I also hate me," and make a bunch of money doing it. It's very weird. Very, very weird. Strange grift. Or it's genuine and that's even scarier. What am I talking about? Well, I want to review an interview that depicts this very well from someone who goes by just Pearly Things, but she is called Pearl Davis. And she has built a whole career out of saying to men MAGA viewers, or at least men viewers, I don't know if all of them are even political, but it gets, you know, politically adjacent, saying, "Hey, women suck." Don't clip that out of context. And I'm a woman to tell you that. And that's sort of her whole gig. And she does the women should be doing this. And I'm pretty sure she's part of that red pill, like put people back in the kitchen, whatever. But the weird thing is, while that's incorrect, and I have many times argued against that ideology, it also is inconsistent because you'll have someone like Isabella Moody, who I've, you know, been doing the debate show with, and then hear Pearl, people who build careers and are very, in that sense, independent and sort of a boss, right, that they speak out against. It's the very thing they say that they're not supposed to be doing. Women should not be trying to, but then they go build a big career and make a bunch of money doing it. What? That doesn't make any sense. Okay. While you watch this, please do click the subscribe button. It's infuriating how little Pearl cares about facts and these other guys who she's being interviewed on the Twins Pod. Very strange. I'll break it down one by one and your mind's going to be blown.
One of the things that I noticed about Luke, and this is one of the more infuriating things about a lot of these guys on these shows, and I know I said that it's hard to track a lot of people because there's millions of shows, millions of this, millions of that, right? So it's hard to know everything that's out there. And I understand that. But if you're going to do anything on a show with any particular individuals, it makes a whole lot of sense, Luke, to do your homework and to know who it is that you're actually talking about, or know who it is that you're referring to in some minimal background at best. Like what I have done in this show, I'm going to have three of the up and coming guys. When I have their names, I have their follower base on their major platforms. I have the years for the most part, the years where they started, how old they are approximately, and how many views that, you know, that Luke, for example, has gotten on YouTube, in that he is a political commentator and analyst. So I've done more homework in the first 16 minutes of this show than Luke has done, it seems, in a lot of his material. So when he's doing that debate show with Isabella Moody, he dismisses everything with Kamala Harris. No, that didn't happen. That's not true. How does she get all these things? You know, and you say that's because of Willie, but he does not even acknowledge the fact that Willie got her off the ground with the appointments to the commission, to both commissions, when he was the Speaker of the Assembly, the endorsing her first campaign and pushing it over the finish line. You know, if he doesn't do that, Kamala Harris does not show up as vice president. If he doesn't make those moves based off of their romantic involvement, this situation with Harris doesn't exist. And he does not acknowledge that. He just doesn't acknowledge it because he says it. You know, Willie Brown, all that, that's not true. That didn't happen. It absolutely happened. And he does it here right out of the gate with this review of this interview. It's about 16 minutes. We're not going to do it all. But he does it again out of the gate with this interview. He says, Pearl Davis makes a career out of, you know, lying or doing what have you with the stats and misrepresentation. And she's almost some twins pod thing, right? Okay. This is the issue is already there. Homework. I'm going to do Luke's homework for him. Now, he might be right. He might be wrong. And if he's right, what have you? Okay. But she is gotten into the manosphere culture. Her name is Hannah Pearl Davis. She is an American YouTuber, political commentator. She's known online as Just Pearly Things. She rose to prominence as part of the online manosphere subculture, gained significant following for her conservative and anti-feminist views. And she's also known for producing content related to politics and vlogs, and has conducted street interviews and prominent personalities and all these other things. And then she hosts a pregame show podcast and is involved in various controversies due to her outspoken nature. That's Pearl Davis. He says, but that's not, that is one of the things that I would do is this is who she is. This is the background. I wouldn't sit there and go, she's made a career out of making all these comments. She's done this, but you know, I hate when they say the word apparently, because they're just kind of saying, well, apparently she's gone to this and that. No, this is what she does. This is who she is. Now, the twins pod, this is a mind blower, is how Luke does not know. Either he does not know who these two are, or he doesn't give a shit and he's downplaying it, or he's, you know, taking a shot at them in some subtle way. I'm not entirely 100% sure about that, but it sounds like it when he says, oh, it's some twin spot. These two individuals are the Hodge twins. Who are the Hodge twins? The Hodge twins are two political commentators that started off as Marines that went in as bodybuilders and had a YouTube channel on health. And then they morphed it into a political show. And then they've taken that and they've gone on tour and done some stand-up comedy as, you know, together. So they have a massive following of anywhere, depending on what platform it is, anywhere between 2 to 4 million followers. So if you don't know who these guys are and what they bring in their presentations and what they're talking about, you may agree to disagree, but you have to have some fucking understanding as to what it is that you're watching. So let's get into it.
Very vindictive, man, manipulating. Oh my God. I've had some bad experiences with women that will make you cringe. Like, look at the whole ordeal with Trump, and he just got found guilty in a civil trial. I don't know how the hell you get found civilly convicted of a crime if they haven't criminally prosecuted you.
Well, they don't have any
on
evidence.
Top of that, it happened 30 years ago. There's no videotape. He was found guilty of rape.
Wait, stop. I'm sorry. We got to go so slow through this.
Don't bring it up then. If you don't even know the concept of being civilly liable for something, why are you pontificating on it? Yeah, you cannot be criminally convicted of a crime, but you can be civilly liable and be on the hook for civil damages, meaning...
This is what the Hodge twins do. This is their show. This is how they act. One guy plays stupid, and the other guy plays off of that. It's similar to the straight man and the dum-dum, like an Abbott and Costello, or the Three Stooges, you know, where Mo is the straight man, and, you know, like, he doesn't, there's no jokes, whatever. And they play off each other like that. They both are fully aware of the context of the case because they have discussed it before at great length on their show. I wish that he would know that, or he would look into that. By not doing so, what I'm looking at right here is a grift, a guy shooting for fucking views and picking something that will get him a download or a click or something. And that's one of the things that really bothers me with a lot of these guys. Like, how do you not know who the Hodge twins are? Now, I can understand, you know, Isabella Moody, a couple hundred thousand followers, very limited reach. But when you're looking at guys like the Hodge twins or Steven Crowder or anybody at the Daily Wire or Crooked Media, for God's sakes, these are people with millions and millions of followers. You have to not only know what it is that you're talking about. That's just the way it looks. Just from the outset of this, it just seems like he's being a fucking silly man. Let's just keep going.
Your punishment is not going to be prison. And you haven't been found guilty, but instead you're going to have to pay up. Thus, the burden of proof is different as well, by the preponderance of evidence instead of beyond a reasonable doubt. Okay, so already we're off to a bad start, but let's see how he tries to disparage the outcome of that case.
What was that lady's name?
Jean Carroll.
Jean Carroll.
Yeah, something like that.
How in the hell and I bet you a majority of that damn jury was females.
Oh, and now judges are becoming more female, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and then the problem is they expand the definition. Because what do women do when they mm-hmm. want to...
Hurt you.
Confuse you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
They switch the definition. So if I say, like, you know, do you find this fat chick hot? They'll say, like, what is beauty? Like, what is, mm-hmm. What is attractive, right? Right? They do the same thing in court, where mm-hmm. it used to be rape, used to be forced sex. Now it's sex without consent. And the problem is that makes it broad.
Right.
And that puts it on a spectrum. Abuse used to be you hit him and then yeah. he didn't respond or whatever. It's like unprovoked hitting, something like that.
Right.
Now it's emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, emotional abuse.
Financial abuse. And so that's what they do. They expand.
What? I don't even know. I think we'd be here all day if every word that she said that was wrong I addressed. So let me just pick a couple and then we'll move forward to illustrate a point. The guy goes, I bet you that E. Jean Carroll jury was all women or mostly women. Hey, I didn't know the answer to that question off the top of my head, off my dome. But do you know how you can go from not knowing something to knowing something? Looking it up. He could have looked it up. 6 men and 3 women were on that jury. 6 men, 3 women. Wrong. Then, the only real discernible point that's really quantifiable that Pearl made was, yeah, and you know, more judges now are women. I don't know if she was saying more judges than men or there are more judges than before.
Well, let's start with the jury. Yes, in civil cases, you can have less. You can have 9, but only 6 of them sit in the box, and it was 3 men and 3 women. So the actual people that heard what was going on was a 50-50 split. So it wasn't really more men on the jury than women. That's kind of how that is. The alternates didn't actually dive into anything. So... there's that. What's crazy is she hasn't been paid for any of this. It's still held up in appeal. So this whole case could get completely overturned. Being found liable for rape was not, he was not liable for rape. It was sexual assault. So there you go. And there's plenty of video out there of E. Jean Carroll celebrating the wins, which were mainly defamation suits, and going on Rachel Maddow and partying it up and saying, you know, well, when I get paid, what are we going to, you know, shopping spree, blah, blah, blah. So she's not exactly acting like a victim. And I doubt that he's read her book, which I have. And in that book, she doesn't remember what happened. She says it in the book. She doesn't remember what happened. She doesn't exactly remember dates, times, the floor, what door it was in. Just doesn't remember. But the actual event that takes place, she's very mixed on, because it's also not clear in the book. And she actually read the audiobook portion of it, so it's her own voice as well. So it's a very, I mean, she won the case. She won her case. It is what it is. But the smugness that Luke has during this whole thing is just, it's very off-putting.
Which makes sense. For a long time, women were completely prevented from being in positions of power, so it makes sense then before, you know, today or before the last decade or two, you would have had less. But only 1/3 of active judges are women in the United States, and 50% of the population is women. There's just, first point, how do you even convict someone in a civil trial? You don't. Second point, well, I bet that jury was all women. It wasn't. It was mostly men. Third point, you know, women are taking over the judiciary, so what are we going to do then? They just want to hurt us. 1/3 of the judiciary is women. 2/3 is men, which is not aligned with our population. So if there's any conspiracy, it's against the women there. Then we charge forward. And catch the irony here. He says, some people just don't care about the truth. Oh, really?
It's like, I think you're like really humble.
Yeah.
But from what I've seen, you're really good at what you do.
Yeah.
Even though you don't,
you're
have
not mean or evil. It comes from a good place. You actually trying to help people see the light, and they don't want to see it.
Yeah, I don't think people really want the truth. They want what makes them feel good about themselves and society. And I think that's why society's moving backwards, actually.
I think it's moving backwards because everything's for women.
Yeah.
We make 80% of consumer buying decisions. So
all
of marketing's towards women. Mm-hmm. Education is female, you know, centric. Mm-hmm. I think 80% of teachers are women. Mm-hmm. So
they even threw trans women in there. I find it astonishing.
What's funny? You know what's funny? I'm going to tell you a funny thing.
I don't even know what that point was. Some trans women. That's all I heard.
I don't know if I can keep going with this. The trans woman is a jab. It's just a joke because of all the things that have been going on with the trans community in politics. That's all that is, dude. And you would know that if you had done your research on the Hodge twins. You would know that that's their shtick. That's just who they are. That's what they do. You can agree or you can agree to disagree, sure, but that's just what it is. And of course, to kind of get back to the other thing, we talked about the judges. It's very interesting how the statistics are counted, and the American bar counts it like this. There are 67% of federal judges in the U.S. that are men. They add active and senior status judges. So it's interesting how they count two different pools for men. And for women, it's about 34% as of 2025. And it does. It only includes one pool of women. So I don't under. I'm not a big. I'm not 100% on the judge thing on how it shakes. How that shakes out. But I have. I have a weird feeling that it's more than 34%. And I and Pearl might be right. She might be wrong on that. And of course, you know, again, agree to disagree on that whole issue there. But that's Luke in a nutshell, and it's very dismissive. It's very off-putting when you listen to this. And I'm sure I'll be revisiting Luke again in the future, and I'm sure he'll be on this podcast again. There's going to be a clip or something, because there's always something that he says that makes you go, "What? Really?" On to the next guy anyway. On to the next guy. Let's go to Dean Withers. Now, this is a guy, he's the youngest of the group. He's, I believe, 19 or 20. With the 2.3 million followers on TikTok. And he makes his living bitching and complaining and debating other... he calls them MAGA conservatives, basically. Republican conservative MAGAs, what all that. Whatever you want to call it. He's also been recently kicked out by his conservative brother. And he posted also online about the struggles of being kicked out of a house because motherfucker... is probably just a pain in the ass with his views and forcing them on people and what have you. That's probably not a shock if that's what it is, but let's get into this guy. This is from the Jubilee. This is the Jubilee deal that they do where they have like one liberal, 25 conservatives, or one conservative, 25 liberals, or it's something along those lines. There's a bunch of videos of this. Well, this is him debating the conservatives here. And this is an interesting deal because there's a live fact check against what Dean says.
My next claim is Kamala Harris would be a much better president than Donald Trump.
I don't believe that Kamala Harris would be a better president than President Trump. And the reason why I believe that is because Kamala Harris has had many chances. When she was a district attorney in San Francisco, she convicted more people of minor crimes than any other DA of San Francisco. And I know this, too, because I lived in San Francisco for a period of time, and I understand the criminal justice system to a certain extent. So Kamala Harris, if you have her as president, she's going to go after people for minor.
Now, I want to jump in real quick on this. This dude that sits down with him is actually correct in the convictions. But what Dean does here is a misrepresentation of the statistics.
Her offenses, she's going to try to convict people for even marijuana, for an example. I mean, come on. Most people... in this country have already been past this whole issue with cannabis and everything. And I think that's something that now that should be overlooked, and it should be something that should be legalized on a federal level as well. But I do believe that Kamala Harris, if she convicted people of small, petty stuff, like people having a minor amount of marijuana and had the highest conviction rate in San Francisco, how can you have someone like that as president? And she also was also married into the Getty family. Jean-Paul Getty is an elite family in the state of California. So how is it that you're gonna say, oh, Kamala Harris is better than President Trump?
Of course. First, let's respond to a couple of your claims there. How many people did she convict? Not a clue. 45. And what did she do in 2014?
45. You're saying she convicted only 45 people of possession of marijuana.
Okay, here's the live fact check, which I think is hilarious. So Dean says it's only 45. Only 45 were convicted in her entire time. Now, this is what I mean by a misrepresentation. She actually convicted 1,956 misdemeanor marijuana cases. And only 45 of them received jail time. So the rest of that number, the 1,900 and 11, all pleaded out and got probation or some sort of penalty. He only focuses on the 45 that were convicted for prison time. That is an inaccurate statement. It's not even true. Omar, the challenger, Omar, is 100% correct on this. He is correct. She did convict nearly 2,000 people of marijuana cases, federal or misdemeanor crime of marijuana. So Dean is sitting there. He's chuckling. He's very much dismissive. He thinks he's in the right here, but he's just simply not. And this is just something that he does throughout this entire situation here.
Yes. And what did she do?
That is not true. That is not true that she convicted only 45 people of marijuana. If she was a district attorney and she had other DAs in the district attorney's office.
Do you mind if I finish talking?
Prosecuting those small crimes.
Okay, sir. Do you mind if
she had more than 45 convictions in that office alone.
So, yeah, she only had over.
You had a lot of time to talk. I mean, you had the whole time. I really don't have a lot of time here. But so what I'm saying is.
I just want to be able to finish this
point
out.
Go ahead. You're saying 45 convictions, but you're not giving me facts.
Yeah, so yeah, so while she was DA, it is a. Welcome in.
Hi.
Hi. So, do you mind if I give you my reasons why I think that Harris would be a better president?
If you want.
Please. Cool. Yeah, so there's two main categorical reasons why I say Harris would be better than Trump. The first category is character. The second category is policy. Let's start off with character. First of all, Trump is a sexual abuser. Trump is a felon. Trump is a fraudster. Trump is an election denier. He's a dictator on day one, wannabe fascist. Okay. Kamala Harris is none of those. Kamala Harris wants to protect and preserve a democracy. She wants to fight for the freedoms of all Americans, especially the 170 million American women and girls. And then we could reference policy next. If you want to respond to character, go for it. If you want me to hop straight and policy, I could do that too.
Well, you know, starting with.
Okay, so the question is character. Pay attention to this. He has only one go-to here, and it's interesting.
Character. I technically do not think she's a good person. Speaking of which, you know, if we're bringing up stuff from the past, we can say she slept with Willie Brown, broke up a family just to get her job. And while she was there, she used a firm that was putting people in jail that had false positives on drug tests. And she knew they had false positives. She admitted to that. And she was still putting mainly black and brown people in jail. Considering I'm both, that is very much a big issue for me. And also that a woman shouldn't represent. They should just sleep to the top for their job. They should actually work hard for it. I generally don't think that she's a good representative. There's plenty of other women out there.
Yeah, I have a question. How many votes did she get in a run for AG? Do you know? Now, how many votes did she get
in a run?
We're
talking about character, though.
Of course. We'll
talk
about
character and morals. If we're mentioning character and morals here, she's clearly not a good person.
Okay. Again, this is interesting to me. And I know this is kind of me going off a little bit, but this part of this video has really surprised me. Is the initial talk here is character. Okay, he goes out and he says Trump is the, you know, misogynist, he's the felon, all this stuff. She says, as I had already discussed with the Luke videos, that she was in a relationship and she slept to the top. Now, she didn't exactly break up the family. That part, they were already separated when this relationship happened, but she did sleep to the top. So he then comes in with how many votes did she get? Now, if I'm sitting across from him, I'm telling him that is irrelevant to what we're talking about. We're talking about character. What you want to do is take this bus and hook it left because you don't want to talk about character. You don't want to talk about the simple fact that Kamala Harris not only convicted nearly 2,000 people for petty crimes, she also withheld evidence and had the state courts force her to turn over evidence that would erase convictions. She kept people longer in their sentences than needed so that they can, you know, be used as labor. This is all stuff that goes to character. So if you're going to say that Donald Trump is 100% a piece of shit because he's, you know, done these criminal acts, you can't sit there and say that withholding evidence or destroying evidence or, you know, holding people longer than their sentence or delaying trials so that they don't leak, so that they don't post bail or etc. You can't. That's not a good person at all. And it's not a good, there's not any good character there.
Responding to your
just
claim,
like she, you had mentioned all that stuff about Trump, which could be true.
I'm referencing your claim that she,
and a family.
I'm referencing your claim that she slept to the top. How many votes did she get when she was running for AG and DA in the state of California?
But that has nothing to do with the fact.
It does. She got 4.5 million votes in total. 80 million for her run for AG or DA. I don't remember which one. And then 4.4 million for the other one. I have a question. You're saying that she slept her way to the top. How many of those 4.5 million people that voted for her did she have to sleep with?
Well, you know,
she kind of fizzles out, but of course I'll act as if I'm there. Why not? He sits there and he says that she got 4 million votes for this or that. How many did she sleep with for that? That's got nothing to do with it. What you're saying, Dean, is complete misdirect and horseshit. None of that matters. The question I would have for him is, how did she get into politics? Do you know, 19-year-old boy? How did she get there? How? She had a relationship with Willie Brown in the 90s. How did she get there? Oh, he appointed her to two political positions when he was the speaker of the state assembly. Oh, that's how she got in there after she was fucking the guy. Oh, so that's how she got her foot in. Okay, how did she get that DA, those 4.4 million votes? Explain that one. How did that happen? Oh, I don't know, Dean. Let me just back up for a second and take this in. How did that happen? Hold on. Let me think. Willie Brown endorsed her. I don't know why that matters. I mean, she was sucking his dick and he gave her her political jobs. And then 5 years later, they have a conversation. There's a little huggy huggy. And all of a sudden he's endorsing her and pushing her campaign overboard over the finish line. Wow. How did she become the DA of San Francisco without that? That was her first major office. She had no political capital whatsoever. How the hell did she get there? This is the thing with these fucking toddlers. Like, they assume, they assume that there's zero pushback from any of that stuff, from any of this shit. But how did you think she got there, Dean? Do you know how she got there? Anyway, and the band played on.
Obviously, we're in California, and this is pretty corrupt, but to say that she needed the votes of most people that matter, which is the person she slept with, could actually overturn and hide these votes just like they did with the election. But
listen, the idea that women have to sleep with men to get into positions,
and that's exactly what she
is
did.
A misogynistic
exactly
lie. One moment.
She's saying that.
Do you mind if I finish talking real quick?
We have to open our legs to get jobs. That's exactly how she used it.
Do you mind if I just finish talking real quick? Also, I would like to finish out this conversation. There's a lot of red flags up, though. So saying that women have to sleep with men to get into positions of power is a misogynistic lie. What you
I didn't
are
say
doing?
That. She just
one
did
moment.
That.
One moment.
That's what she represents.
What you are
That's
doing.
All I'm saying, guys.
What you are doing is you are taking Kamala Harris. You are taking her character. You are taking her proposed policy. You are taking her intelligence, and you are taking her wisdom, and you're throwing it out of the window.
All right, stop. I got a fucking vomit in my mouth. What wisdom? I'm just curious. What wisdom? Honestly, I mean, is anybody? God, there's sometimes I do wish I was involved in some of these exchanges. What wisdom are we talking about, Dean? What wisdom? Are we talking about the one where she hid evidence and was forced to turn it over by the DA's office, by the Supreme Court, by the state court? Is that what we're talking about? The wisdom to hide the evidence? Are we talking about that? Are we talking about the wisdom for nearly 2,000 convictions for marijuana possession? Are we talking about that wisdom? What are we talking about? And let's not even... That's the, you know, what is the wisdom? Have you heard her speak? I mean, she doesn't know anything.
No, because when you say that the only reason she's in her position of power today is because she slept with a man that had been legally divorced for 3 years is a lie. She got 4.5 million votes to get into AG.
Okay, he doesn't know anything about this entire relationship. They were separated for 13 years. They didn't get divorced until 1999. They were in a relationship from 89 to 1993. So let's pump the brakes here. Okay, this dude doesn't know shit. Moving on.
G and DA and slept with zero of them. The question I have for you,
oh, you don't
is
know
how
that,
you feel
though.
About Donald
Do you know that? No.
Okay,
absolutely
so
not.
You think that she slept with 4.5 million people getting her position of power?
But the one
Wait,
person
you,
that
are
she
you
did
serious?
Was the most important person.
Did you just say that she had to sleep with 4.5 million
no,
people?
No, I didn't say that. I said that she slept with one of the most relevant people to get her
what
job,
was his
to
name?
Get in. Willie Brown.
And how
and
did
I just
sleeping
said
with Willie Brown get her the 4.5 million votes in a run for AG&DA?
Because he was in the same position she needed to get
But there. We have civil electoral processes. We are a constitutional republic with democratic processes. Yes, I do. And you're saying that she somehow circumvented these civil electoral processes?
I don't hate women, guys. Just letting you know.
I am a woman.
What is a woman?
So that's Dean in a nutshell. He's a very confusing guy. And I just gotta say it's mind-boggling how this guy rose to power, to be honest, some form of power, to be honest. You know, you got Luke, who thinks he knows more than the next guy in the room, and you got this guy who is an overconfident toddler that doesn't understand the whole story. And again, it goes back to the whole homework thing. You know, I don't get it. I don't understand how these guys got there, but they got there. You know, let's I don't know. Should I keep going with this? Let's keep it going. Let's see what the next one's all about.
Welcome down. I would really like to see if we could have a productive conversation about this point.
Well, I just want to start off by saying that you seem to attack Trump for his character, but then when like Kamala is attacked for her character, it like doesn't matter.
So why do you think that Kamala Harris is a bad person?
For reasons that have been stated.
Can you repeat them?
She's slept with people to get up to her ranking. She hasn't really done all too much as vice president, in my opinion.
I would like to say that is false. She's passed more tie-breaking votes in the Senate than any VP in American history. She's also helped the Biden-Harris administration influence some of the most monumental legislation in modern U.S. history.
Right.
I'm going to name four pieces of legislation that the Biden-Harris administration influenced to get passed that benefited the low and the middle class more than rich people. And I want to see if you could do the same for Donald Trump while he was president. They influenced the PACT Act, the Chips and Science Act, the American Rescue Plan, the Infrastructure Bill, and the Inflation Reduction Act. If you'd like, I could explain to you how those benefited the low and the middle class more so than the top 1%, but now I'll just simply ask you that same question. Can you name one bill that Trump influenced to get passed that benefited the low and the middle class more so than rich people?
I really can't.
So then how...
Okay, let me... Oh my God. I have no notes, so this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. Everything that he just said that they passed that helped the lower middle class, all that. Let's take the CHIPS Act. There, this bill, first off, the overall cost of these bills was $6.7 trillion added to the deficit and is a complete pile of cash thrown into a fucking toilet. All of them. The CHIPS Act. The CHIPS Act has not produced a single building for manufacturing, but the money has gone somewhere. Infrastructure bill has not built a single anything. It has not maintained anything, and that money has vanished. Let's take the Inflation Reduction Act. That is a bill that was an omnibus package that absolutely did nothing but send billions of dollars overseas in aid to Ukraine and Israel. It did not reduce an ounce of inflation at that period of time. And until this point, it has not lowered it to previous levels. It's still at 4.5-5% of inflation rate. So that one, two, that's, what is that for? Inflation, chips, infrastructure, inflation, chips, infrastructure. Fuck, I missed what the other one was. But those three alone have been ridiculous. Now, when he says that she did more tie-breaking votes, she fucking had to. It was a 50-50 dead heat in the Senate. Anything the Democrats wanted to pass, they weren't going to get help from the Republicans. She had to cast tie-breaking votes. So that's just an irrelevant thing to say. It's like, who gives a shit, okay, about the historical meaning behind any of that? That's all nonsense. So that alone. Now, let me do, since I've only been able to, only caught three through his speed talk there, I'm only going to go with three. So what he did do that helped the middle class, I'm going to talk about that tax cut. That's the one, but there are two others. He gave permanent funding for historically black colleges. Permanent, $250 million a year per college. That helped immensely, because before they always had to go and negotiate every 2 or 3 years. He said permanent funding, always going to be there, non-negotiable, no, but you're getting your money. He also created opportunity zones for a lot of minority communities designed to build businesses and help, which actually produced businesses and helped put money into those areas. So, and I'm going to talk about the tax cut, which nobody likes to talk about because they say, oh, it all helps the upper 1%. It does not only help the 1%. When you cut the taxes and deregulate to give the larger companies an opportunity to build their business and expand, they do what? They have to hire people. And then they do what with that? They pay them. So they hire people to do the work and they pay them and the business keeps growing. When you regulate and choke business with a bunch of stupid ideas, you tend to hurt the lower and middle class. So there's that. So I don't know what he's going to say, but those are the three to his three.
How could you say that Kamala Harris hasn't done anything when you know so little about what Trump did while he was president?
Also, side note, Kamala Harris is the vice president. She doesn't do anything. She plays fucking solitaire all day. She does, like, she shows up, you know, makes a little appearance, you know, in South America to talk about immigration for a second, and then, you know, hauls her ass back to go watch TV. The vice presidency, as anybody who's been around the block at least once and has seen a couple of historical events in the United States of America, we know that it is just a warm bucket of piss. That's the job. So I really don't understand how he's going to sit there and go, oh, she has done a bunch of things, you know, tiebreakers in the Senate. She does nothing but tiebreakers in the Senate. That's all she does. She's not drafting legislation. She's not sitting there, you know, giving, you know, earth shattering things to the populace. She just sits in her office all day with a staff and she stares at the fucking TV. That's it. That's her job.
Comparatively to what Trump has done in the past, she really hasn't done that much.
I just told you four pieces of monumental legislation that she did influence to get passed that were beneficial.
Beneficial.
But those four pieces of legislation she quote-unquote helped pass, she did not write, she did not draft, she did not participate in. So you can't sit there, Dean, and say that she has done all these great things. She didn't do shit except hold the fucking chair. All she did was sit in the chair. She's, you know, a little gavel. Bam, the tie-breaking vote. That doesn't mean a fucking thing, dude. It just doesn't.
So, but not quite to what Trump did.
Well, you can't even tell me what Trump did. I asked you. You can.
I know,
tell
but
me.
You can just tell from when he was president that it was just, it was way better. And Kamala's been hiding and probably puppeteering the Biden. Like, you can't deny that.
Do you see how that's just a conspiracy theory?
I know it's a conspiracy, but it's the evidence is kind of there.
Okay, so what's the evidence for this idea that Biden hasn't done anything for America?
Sorry.
Okay.
That was smooth. You just kind of slid into the seat.
Thank you. I think a lot of what we're hearing from you right now is just what I call book smart. Like, you probably are more knowledgeable than a lot of this. A lot of us on these policies and all that, that's not necessarily applicable to real life living. If we look at one of the most important roles as a president is to keep our country safe. Kamala Harris, she's the border czar, and she has completely failed at that. She's let in millions and millions of illegal immigrants. And you've been asking us a lot of pointers, so I want to ask you, do you know what the average amount of fentanyl per pound that has come through during Biden's administration versus the Trump administration?
No, I'd assume that it's much higher under the Biden-Harris administration.
It is.
Do you know what amount of drugs processed across the southern border are processed by U.S. citizens?
But I'm talking about illegals right now. So I asked you a question. Okay. So during Trump's administration...
Okay, good on him. Keep it on task. This is one thing Dean does a lot. And I'm a little longer on Dean than I am of Luke because Dean is a pompous piece of you know what. He really is, and I don't care if he... whatever, but... he literally is. And it's absolutely nauseating to listen to him in this way. But I'm going to leave that there. And we're going to close out Dean. And we are going to move on to the big finish, which is Harry. And it's only one clip. It's not a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm only going to go to the end because it's a person talking about how she feels, you know, safe and better and under Trump than she did under, you know, so. And he's got this weird, goofy fucking face and he's nodding off. I think this is what TikTok is. And it's a thing. Let me get it set. All right, here we go.
Trust with our country.
Wow. You are totally delusional.
So just to be clear, you think that the guy who has a golden apartment in New York City is a billionaire and grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth cares about you? You think he cares about you at all? Just a quick question for you. Did he care about the American people when he gave the wealthy a huge tax cut? Did he care about the American people when he totally fumbled the response to Hurricane Maria and delayed sending aid to Puerto Rico, where a bunch of Americans live? Did he care about the people when he mishandled the pandemic or tried to overturn an election he didn't win?
Okay, that's a lot there. The whole thing about caring about people. Harry, do you honestly believe Joe Biden gives a shit about you? I mean, I know you, there's pictures of you shaking his hand. You keep calling him a great man. Joe Biden is not a great man. He has never been a great man. Joe Biden does not give a fuck about you, Harry. Nor does he care about anybody in America outside of his own family. Why do you give a blanket pardon with a 10-year gap, like a 10-year window, to your son for all crimes committed or any crimes committed, if you are completely above board and you're an honorable man and you're upstanding, why would you do that? The only reason you would do that is because you have something to hide. The only reason you would do that is because something is wrong. And that is point one. The second thing is, since these are all 20-somethings who are barely diving in and they don't know shit, Joe Biden has been a piece of garbage for 50 fucking years. This dude has stolen speeches. He's plagiarized his record. He has lied repeatedly about where he lives and what he's done and, you know, being in a helicopter that he was never actually in. He was never there for the Mandela thing. None of that happened. That dude has been full of shit for God knows how for 50 years. I mean, how do you call this dude an honorable man and a great man and as I am going to assume off of that comment that he cares, this fucking dude doesn't, how do you say that? This dude attacked Clarence Thomas in the most racially charged, bigoted way possible in the confirmation hearings. Like, this dude was a smug piece of shit. He has literally said he will not put his kids in a racial jungle. This dude is an unbelievable nonsense. This dude's he's an unbelievable turd. How do you say he's honorable? In what way, Harry? How is he a great man, Harry? That's the thing, man. You got to know what you're talking about. And for this guy, it's just the other two, is I don't think the only one that's more polished of the three is Luke. It seems like he is really trying to create a persona or a character of some sort that people will buy into. These other two are just ridiculous. And somehow they got people to follow them, people to give them, you know, a revenue stream, if you will. And it's just like the tax cut thing for the rich. It's not a tax cut for the rich. And I know nobody likes to, everybody says trickle down economics doesn't work, but it does. If you give a business the opportunity to operate freely, that business will employ people, that business will build and innovate and turn things into great things. If you choke business and if you restrict them from doing stuff, what ends up happening is your prices go up. They tend to fire people because they have to stay alive. I don't understand how these guys can sit there and say that this stuff does not work because there's no track record of it. But yet somehow, when these tax breaks happen, extra Walmarts seem to get built. It's very weird. Now, I know we can get into income levels and how much the jobs per hour cost and all this other stuff Bernie Sanders likes to talk about and the working man. We can get into that. That's a separate issue. But when we're talking about benefiting the populace, that's what this does. And you can give tax breaks to the small business owner, sure, fine. But it's not going to inspire massive growth, Harry. It's just not. I mean, the guy with the one store might get to build the second store, but when you're talking about multi-billion-dollar companies, when you allow them to operate, they tend to employ more. Now, the trick, though, of this is to somehow hit that happy middle where you don't have to have a federal subsidy for them when they get too stupid. Like, I don't know, the auto industry that Joe Biden propped up when he was vice president with Obama with all this money to keep them from failing. Now, they say it was all paid back. Okay, sure. But you shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have to get to that. Let's finish this off.
Win and then incited an insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th. Was any of that caring about the people? And he has...
The insurrection thing, that seems to be a talking point that they like to, that these guys like to like sit on. Let me just say this. In regards to that, it was January 6th, 2020. Was it a dark time? Was it a terrible time? Did shit go down? Yes. Did it subvert the election? No. It still happened. Mike Pence still certified. Now, when you say the peaceful transfer of power, that's a separate day. That was January 20th. What did Trump do on January 20th? Did he stay in office? Did he sit there and go, oh, I'm not going anywhere. You know, fuck you guys. No. No, he got on a plane and he left. The most unceremonious insurrection and blocking of the transfer of power I've ever seen. So these guys have got, you want to talk about January 6th, we can talk about January 6th. But you can't say that he was subverting the peaceful transfer of power, because that did not happen. The transfer of power happened. It's a completely separate issue. Now, January 6th, which I don't agree with, I'm still struggling with how he incited a riot. That part, I'm still not able to wrap my brain around. Maybe sitting down with one of these kids, maybe they'll explain it to me, I don't know. But I can't get around that. I still can't. Because you could sit there and say in a speech, let's go to the Capitol and peacefully protest, and it breaks out into a riot, and that's suddenly my fault? I don't understand how that could be my fault. But they're saying it is. They're saying it is. Because you, by saying that, you're inciting a riot. That's not. And this whole thing that he has up here, he's talking about he's got no ulterior motive. Well, he made $1.6 billion while he was president. Okay, all right, listen. When let's talk about this for a second. I know that this is a sore spot for a lot of these youngsters, that Trump reportedly made a couple of bucks while he was president. All right. Bill and Hillary Clinton, when they were in office, they made a lot of money through the Clinton Foundation. Now, I know we can talk about how it was a nonprofit, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, come on, let's be honest here. Let's cut the shit. That money went somewhere. And I don't think it went where it was supposed to go. I think it went into their bank accounts. Of course, we can't prove any of that, you know, but that's just a belief I have. You can try to sway me all you want. The other issue is Joe Biden. I don't understand how this guy made millions of dollars while he was vice president. I don't get it. His tax returns say so. I don't get how that happened. It shouldn't have happened, but somehow it happened. Now, it could be through investments, because $1.6 billion could be stock options for all we know. I don't think he's allowed to, like, sell his stock. But again, I'm not looking too deep into that. I mean, politicians make money in office all the time. I just think it's ridiculous that he even brought that up.
No ulterior motives? Are you kidding? He made over $1.6 billion when he was president. And he ran for president this time because he was facing over 700 years in prison. And not to mention, you said you trust him when he told over 30,000 lies in his first 4 years in office. That averages out to 20 a day. Can you imagine lying 20 times a day for 4 years?
Harry, let's just talk about the lying thing for a second, Harry. 30,000 lies. According to who? The fact checkers? Come on, Harry. Got to do better. You can't sit there and keep... He's quoted this fucking weird stat all the time. And it's in reference to fact-checking organizations that suddenly propped up when Trump became president. They didn't seem to exist on a large scale when Obama was president and he was bullshitting people for 8 years. You know? But somehow they're in full force when Trump takes office. One of the things that I find very weird about that is 30,000 lies, averaging 20 a day or some bullshit, is some of these quote-unquote lies, for the most part, turned out to be true. He wasn't exactly 100% wrong. It's like, just take the windmills and the whale thing. Now, these guys all laugh at it and say that it's not true, it's bullshit, but it is happening. There's a documentary on the windmills and the hum in the ocean and how it's derailing the mating path of the whales. And some of them are showing up, are landing on shore and dying because they're disoriented. This is a real thing. And Trump stated it on the Rogan podcast. Harry himself, you know, called him full of shit. And that's not exactly wrong. You know, I don't know. I just, it's the little things like that, you know, and obviously I'm not going to sit here and keep going. We've already hit the 1 hour mark in our first episode to go over an hour, and it's on a Monday. And that's it, kids. That's Harry, Luke, and Dean. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate each and every one of you. If you like it, share it, subscribe to it. See you tomorrow. I want to break your soul.